Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Tanzina Vega back with you on The Takeaway. The United States remains the only country in the developed world that doesn't guarantee paid family leave for taking care of a new baby, elderly parents, or someone else who needs their attention. And while the country's existing Family Medical Leave Act mandates 12 weeks of unpaid leave, it's more difficult to benefit from than one might imagine. Elizabeth Skosky is a freelance writer who recently wrote about the hidden failings of the FMLA for the Huffington Post. Elizabeth, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So why is it so hard to get the 12 weeks mandated that the Family Medical Leave Act suggests that we should have?
Well, there's a lot of hidden requirements there that don't come to the forefront when you look it up right away. The first is that your employer has to have over 50 employees to actually grant it to you. So if you have under 50 coworkers, they don't have to give you that 12 weeks of leave. And the same thing is with the mandated 12 months. You have to work 1,250 hours to qualify for that leave, which works out to 12 months for someone. So you have to be working in that position for 12 months before you can qualify. And then beyond that, they can also make policies about using your sick or vacation time first.
So they would require you to use that time before the FMLA benefits would kick in?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So and I guess that would explain why sometimes people view this as a perk of a job as opposed to a necessity. What are some of the biggest misconceptions of things, specifically like parental leave, for example?
Yeah, I think that there's a huge misunderstanding about, before you go through it with a newborn, what those weeks are being used for. So 12 weeks after having a newborn, it flew, and it was so necessary to be home with my daughter and figuring out, you know, not just how to keep her alive, but get to know her and bond with her and have a connection with her. So I could see it before needing to take that time, someone thinking of it as 12 weeks of vacation to play with a baby, or, you know, 12 weeks of vacation to try to stay home, you know, with your child. But on the other side, you're realizing after 12 weeks, you have to go back to work, and that's not nearly enough time for that bonding importance.
And isn't there also for women who give birth, isn't there also a physical recovery time that some women might need after doing that?
Yes, definitely. So it's one of those, you're going through a major medical experience and you're going home, and not only are you having to take care of yourself, but you're having to take care of a child 24 hours a day.
So let's talk a little bit about your personal experience. You were looking for a job and you were pregnant, and you found that to be a hurdle in finding work. But was there something specific about not being able to access the FMLA benefits that made you decide to go one way or another?
Yes, definitely. It impacted it. So I was leaving education. I had been a teacher for 5 years and I was looking to move into the nonprofit field, and it was taking a little longer than I'd expected. So those two timelines were really starting to butt up against each other. Was my decision going to be to stay in a job that I wasn't passionate about and take the time to start a family, or was I going to put pause on my family plans and try to find the job that I wanted? And I was realizing that I had to make a choice, one or the other, and I chose to put pause on the job search when I got an opportunity out of nowhere when I was 6 months pregnant for someone I had been doing freelance work for, and they offered me a job, and thankfully they offered me leave at the same time. But, you know, those opportunities come out of nowhere sometimes, and if you're a woman who is pregnant, or a person who can get pregnant, you have to make a decision. Are you going to give up your 12 weeks of leave to bond with your child and advance your career, or are you going to say no?
And isn't it incumbent that upon the company to say, well, look, we are just hiring you now. I remember when Marissa Meyer took over at Yahoo, she was already pregnant. She then installed a nursery right next door to her office. And so she could do that, being the head of the company. But can't companies make the decision to say, well, we want you to kind of start now?
Yeah. And I think that definitely companies, when they're working with a person, is the best way to do it, because not everybody's situation is going to be exactly the same. So that idea of, what do you need? We would like to hire you. What do you need for recovery? What do you need for leave? What do you need for your childcare? That's the the best way to do it, but a lot of companies don't see it as that. A lot of companies see it as, we just hired you and now you're going to go away for 12 weeks. We don't like that.
Mm-hmm. And we also hear a lot about paternity leave, right? And like dads now being able to take advantage of, to go and bond with their kids. Is that also covered by FMLA? Is that something that, that is increasingly just a perk, if you will, that companies are giving because they think they should?
So it's definitely covered by FMLA. Men can take paternity leave. But the issue is that there's a pretty big stigma that still goes along with men taking the full 12 weeks of leave. I always talk about Mark Zuckerberg in 2015. He was lauded for taking 2 months of leave when his own company offered four. Well, who's going to take 4 months when the boss took two? So the question is, there is men now who want to be home with their children and they want to spend that time bonding with their newborn child, but there's not a precedent in place. So if you don't have the privilege to be a trailblazer, then you're kind of stuck.
We also, there was a Google story, a story about a Google employee recently who said after her own maternity leave that she would not be returning to Google. We'll talk a little bit about the other types of discrimination that parents, particularly mothers, face in the workplace after they've come back from leave.
I think that everybody who can get pregnant, any woman or person who can get pregnant, has experienced that question of, when are you going to start a family? So I think that it's impossible to say that your boss or your employer isn't also thinking about that at some point and trying to figure out, when are you going to start a family? When am I not going to have your full attention? And whether or not they're overt with it, as in the Google case, or it's more insidious, it's happening. And women, a lot of the childcare, as we've heard about, has fallen. The second shift work is falling on women when someone has to pick the kid up from daycare because they have pink eye or go to the pediatrician. It's women who are trying to figure out those flexible schedules now and asking for those flexible schedules. So that's where FMLA and parental leave, better parental leave policies actually cuts down on that. And men taking that time and taking that leave, it helps with the second shift, you know, housework disparity, child care disparity, because they're so invested from the very beginning.
You know, and we've got about a minute left in the segment, but the majority of the U.S. population supports some type of paid family leave. So what's holding that up?
I'm not sure. People want it, but it's just, you know, Kirsten Gillibrand proposed the family policy, which eliminates that time-based requirement. So hopefully we get it.
Well, we shall see. Elizabeth Skosky is a freelance writer. Thanks for being with us, Elizabeth.
Thank you.